Hello, friends. Welcome to the first episode of Grass Fed by Trav G. For this first episode, I just sat down with Uncle D, a relative of mine. We had a pretty interesting chat. We rambled on. We got on and off topic more times than I can count. Not much of a structure to it, but we had a nice open-ended conversation about a lot of different things. And this being my first time out at making a podcast, I just decided to wing it and didn't really write anything down or anything like that. You know, we just took a shot at it. So I hope you guys, enjoy some of the things we had to say. I hope you enjoy listening to it, and maybe some of the ideas that we pass around you agree with. Maybe some of them you don't. Please give me all the feedback you can. On Twitter at TravG42. You can email me at TravG10@gmail.com. And I guess without further ado, welcome to episode one, Grass Fed, Uncle D the Luddite. Welcome to Grass Fed. You probably know me from Twitter at TravG42. I assume most of you listening are probably going to be Twitter followers to begin with. Thanks for coming to Podomatic.com and looking me up under TravG. I'll have links posted directly to my podcasts. This is sort of a pilot project here. I don't really know what my intentions are. I've I'm just gonna take a shot at this and then look at the feedback and see how it goes. No plans, no gimmicks. Like you see on my profile page, Death Squad for life, and what you see is what you get. I want to say thank you, for starters, to Mitch Nutter. He's been an inspiration, not only with convincing me that I could even do a podcast, but also, well, I suppose a lot of you know how I came out about my addiction and have been on hiding from my wife a few times discussing my addiction. And I've received a lot of love from the Twitter community, a lot of love. I've told counselors that my support network is Twitter, and you should see the looks I get when I say that. They just don't understand, but we understand. So that's the most important thing. So thanks to Mitch Nutter. Thank you, Written Consent. Thank you, Water Boxer. You're the shit, man. Every day, unfailing support. Love all you guys. Zappa Penguin, Kelly Karma 420, and Darren Abbott, the cutest Twitter couple out there. All the rest to you, Anonymous, everybody. We've got an amazing community going here, and a lot of us don't even realize what we have going on yet, but this is going to turn into something beautiful. It is beautiful. I have someone with me today. This is Uncle D, my elder, my mentor, my blood. So say hi, Uncle D.
Hello there, everyone that's listening.
So Uncle Dennis is, well, I like to laugh. I jokingly call him a Luddite. He's not into technology. He doesn't do telephones. He doesn't do TV. I don't do TV either, by the way. And congratulations to anybody that's thrown those fucking things out the window. But so he's new to this whole thing. Us being of, I guess, what you would call a lower income, type of folks, we often come across problems because these days you can't even participate with simple things like licenses, insurance, registration, health concerns without having, an internet connection or a cellular telephone and even a home telephone. I mean, you're basically treated as a non-citizen. And I know my uncle, being from an older, tougher, straighter generation than most of us, he probably finds that very frustrating. But I mean, since I've been telling you about Twitter, what do you think about it? I've been telling you about how the love and the no cunts rule and this death squad thing, which I'm sure when you hear death squad, you probably think that's a pretty creepy name, right? But I mean, what do you think, man?
Well, I mean, certainly since talking to you, Travis, I'm beginning to learn completely what it's all about. Like I didn't even know what a podcast was, and then I finally figured it out. That it's a class of people from India that shell peas, right? And they probably offer them as burnt offerings to John Lennon.
Casting pods left and right, eh?
Yes.
Tell the people listening anything you'd like to tell about yourself.
Basically, I've been fortunate in here in Canada. Yes, we do run into a lot of what we are sometimes led to believe is healthcare, and I say that in the context of not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. There's certainly some.
See, because we don't have to have health insurance to go to the hospital. A lot of Americans don't quite
No,
understand the difference.
we don't. No, they're more than happy to to keep the machine turning. Actually, I was placed on a work disability. I didn't apply for it, which was the oddest thing. In terms of healthcare, You know, what I find is that
they don't realize that we probably have to sit in an emergency room. People, we have this thing here that we, this unfortunate term that has been coined in Winnipeg, Manitoba, called hallway medicine. We have people dying in emergency rooms because, I mean, the illusion of healthcare paid for by the government is a wonderful illusion, but in reality, we know how bureaucracies work, and we know that, I mean, that money doesn't often get spent on the front lines, on frontline care. And we've had people dying in emergency rooms simply because there are so few doctors that the wait times. I mean, if you were to walk into an emergency room today with anything other than a mortal wound, you would be looking at a 4 to 6 hour wait just to see a doctor. In am I right?
Well, I'd like to interject there. That's not always the case, in by any means. However, what I find is that the whole process of feeling that we need to run to our physicians, to quote a phrase,
true,
for every little thing is.
I suppose people tend to do that here more, since they know it's free, right?
Well,
they just go.
Well, and not only that, and there's a whole lot of side issues that go along with that. But what I'm saying is this here, is that you see, and this sort of brings us back to my opinion about technology and stuff like that, and that is that. You know, it has interrupted our lives to such a degree that people have lost the ability and they've lost the skill to learn how to communicate face to face. And
I would agree.
And you know, we've lost it to such a degree. You know, where people just finally, in exasperation, just say, can I talk to someone, please? You know, and. Quite often, that's somebody that wants to, you know, cell phone. Perfect example: your cell phone just rang in the middle of.
I'm sorry, guys. I was gonna silence that.
And you know, like I mean, that's just a perfect example, you know. But anyways, to refocus back on your question, no. Quite often, healthcare professionals here will do the best that they can do.
I believe the doctors and nurses themselves are good people. I just have a problem with the fact that the last time I read the statistic, over 50% of new hires are administrative positions. What do you make of that? Is that, that's fuckery.
Well, this is part of
the creation of doctor's assistants, the creation of nurse's assistants.
This is part of what I was trying to say to you. You see, I walk into an emergency room a couple of weeks ago in a hospital trying to access a service where the rules and the administrative procedures and the procedures for accessibility for that particular service have changed 3 times in the last week. Like, I mean, you know, you just don't know what you expect. You could go there today, and it could be, well, we're not treating anybody except that people that have their left ear cut off.
And this truly is, I mean, if there were, it's such a catch-22. If there were competition, there would be more drive to provide better service, would there not?
Well, no, you see, my feeling
like, should you be allowed to get better service if you can afford to pay for it?
Well,
but over and above what people would get for free.
But with all things in life, you know, it's what we earn. It's what we earn.
So if you earn that money, you should be able to spend it on higher quality healthcare?
What we earn.
You know, I'm willing to entertain that
is
idea.
Is what we get. And, you know, okay. And then, you know, like...
So two-tiered healthcare is what we're talking about. Basically,
well, it's not necessarily two-tiered. It's just that, you know, the economics of the world, you know, seem to dictate that, you know,
well, there are tears
because well, and it is that way. With
this
things.
Is the way of the world.
You know, the whole idea of equality, you know, like,
so in other words, universal healthcare by nature, like, as a term or as a concept, really can't be, because you mean universal, how can,
well, first of all, how can we,
I suppose it could, okay, if we stop building bombs, we stop making war, of course it could be, we could afford to pay for a pamper and massage every man, woman, and child on the planet, I'm sure that's been proven, but I mean, these are real issues, and it's interesting. I want to get a discussion going with you guys about real life experiences in the doctor's office, and comparing them, the average experience in Canada, the average experience in the United States, because I know in the United States, a lot of people take issue with the pay. I mean, some people in Canada think if you don't give them cash at the door, they turn you around. I mean, and I know that's not true. And I know that in the United States, most doctors, up until a certain point, I don't know how many years ago, were absolutely required to do pro bono work, no matter who they worked for. A certain percent. Mitch Nutter said the same thing. I believe it was Mitch Nutter or maybe Alex Jones. Their father was a very well-regarded physician who devoted at least 30-35% of his time to pro bono work. So there you have it. You have people that must have insurance, and yet you have people that are never turned away.
Let me interject here that also is not an entirely true statement. Just to give you a bit of background, my primary trade through life has been as an entertainer, a musician. I play a couple of instruments and I sing, and I've done this for a number of years.
Successfully, you were a working musician.
Well, I was a working musician, yeah. But the union system and all this kind of thing. I mean, that's all well and good, you know. Does it always provide you with work? No. Does it always provide you with the kind of work that you would like to do? No. Does, you know, and it's, you know, and again, it's all about, you know, how things change so fast. You know, it's just, it's always, what have you done for me lately? However, to get back on topic, for largely, you know, although it's becoming more so now, music is not considered an occupation in a lot of bureaucratic circles. It's just not something, you know, that they
a rock
they
star call, is, but
they
not
call
a musician,
it frivolous,
right?
Right, you know? Exactly. Yeah, they call it frivolous. But you know, they don't know. Know about guys that spend 5 hours a day on the street, you know, busking. With or without a license, depending on
which truly is art,
where you have
which to. Is truly art.
Well, it's
it doesn't matter if you're playing a Dylan cover or mumbling drunk, hitting a few chords. If you're making music and somebody appreciates it enough to drop a coin in your hat, I mean, you've moved them, so you must have created art.
Well, yes. And at the same time, too, you know, like, I really think that we should pay our tax on that. You know, I mean, render unto Caesar's, as the saying goes.
Exactly.
And I say that I'm all for that. And here in Canada, we have what we call the goods and services tax, so that one product is actually taxed, you know, 40 times by the time it reaches your hands. So, yeah, I am paying my tax.
Yeah, you know, you guys knew
under the regulations that these guys have set up, you know, but like,
so
I mean,
how is it,
you know, I am able to work. It's just that the type of work that I want to do. Well, here's how it is in Manitoba. After 45 years of playing professionally, you know, not only as a busker, you know, in bands, clubs, right?
And, yeah.
You know, you know, we're talking, you know, busking 5 hours a day.
20 years ago, your band earned a couple of thousand dollars for an evening's performance, right? Am I correct?
The best
on a good night
in the early 80s, which is when, 30 years ago. Yeah, when we really started going into seriously looking at making some money in the music business and making a go of it. Of course, the idea being to make a hit.
Right.
We were booked 3 months in advance, and it was $1,000 a night, non-negotiable, and we were well on our way. Time and circumstance, which occurs for everyone, unfortunately disrupted that band. It's like four people being married together is what it's like. Having said that, these days, no one wants to pay for the live music, and when they do, you know, like, I mean, you know, the cost of the equipment and stuff, and you're guys like me that, like, I mean, you know, give me analog.
So let's put this in perspective. If a 3 or 4 piece band 30 years ago could earn $1,000, and today that same band, they're earning about the same amount of dollars, maybe 1500, right? Maybe 18, not.
If you can, forget it. And, you know, I mean,
Canada, we're supposed to be known for, you know, independent music. And
we have been over the years. I mean, you know, there's a whole long history recording about, you know, how, you know, you had to go to Nashville to make it big. Well, you know, little did people know that there were a couple of other entertainers that were finding Canadian talent, and then signing cross-border contracts and stuff like that.
We have had a lot of our musicians cherry-picked, haven't we?
Yes. Well, that has happened. And yet still, you know, I mean, that's just the way that things go. I mean, you have to do things on their own term. And I almost feel like we're sort of, like, deviating from our original thing. You know, I also have skills as a jewelry maker. You know, I'm somewhat of an oil painter and can do a fairly sufficient job of that, you know. I don't have a degree in arts, so to speak.
You got your degree on the street.
Well, not necessarily on the street. I got it at home. You know,
I mean with real world experience.
Well, with real world experience, yeah, and real world contact, and just, you know, people interacting with one another, right? Absolutely. And you know, I mean, you know, there's a million phrases that are quoted, you know, throughout time, right? You know, and this is when video started coming out, right? You know, and then the song comes out, video kills the radio star.
And may I interject?
And all this other stuff. Certainly.
The radio star's back.
Well.
Is this not?
Yeah, I suppose.
You've listened to a few podcasts with me now. Maybe I should say the radio personality is back. Do podcasts not remind you of old time talk radio? I mean, obviously, with censorship being the difference.
Well,
this is what talk radio should have always been.
Well, I don't know. If you want my honest, deep down opinion, I don't think that any of this stuff should have ever happened. Electronics. I don't think we should have started screwing with the environment the way that we did, and tried to harness the elements, which we have succeeded in doing.
Is it okay for a caveman to find two pieces of flint and bang them together to make a spark and make it fire?
Yeah, but then, you know, the question...
Pardon me, that's a two-part question. So, where is the difference? So, if you get so damn good at making that fire...
Then he's good.
What if he creates a better tool?
Okay.
And a better tool.
Well, this
and
is...
a better tool. Until we're sitting here looking at these amazing computers...
Well... I'm not
so I mean, so what? So what's technology? Is technology banging two stones together?
Well,
is
no.
technology a hydroelectric dam?
No, the difference, I think, is quite simple. Like, I mean, you know, we've always had a way of making fire and stuff like this for heat and stuff like this, you know. I'm not going
to
start.
So are you speaking more to sustainability?
No, what I'm saying is this here. You asked me the question about the guy strikes.
Right.
Two stones together, flint rocks, I guess.
Yeah, is that technology?
And well, it wasn't. If there was indeed such a thing as the caveman or whatever.
Sure, okay, yeah. This is only an exercise.
I don't know. You know, I'm saying this here. Okay, and you know, your own words tell the story itself. It says, and he gets so good at it. Well, okay, that's where he should have stopped. Okay,
because he's met his needs.
He doesn't know where. He doesn't need to know why. All he needs to know is that it works.
What if...
That's all he needs to know.
What if he needs to make fire in a better way for certain reasons, such as...
Because you can't...
Maybe he's got a bigger tribe now. Maybe he is in such a dangerous place hunting that... He needs to build that fire quicker, so he comes up with the string bow.
Right.
So that's a leap. That's a representation of technological progress. So where do you say we've gone too far?
Well,
when it removes us from each other, is that what you're saying?
When we start saying, oh, we need to improve, but now we see what the exact results of this supposed progress or betterment or whatever, we see the result of it. Like, there's no more sushi in Japan, folks. Sorry. Yeah? Oh, yeah, well, and then they use the excuse, they say, technology is like anything, it can be used for something good or it can be used for something bad. Well, if it can be used for something bad, then leave it alone.
That's a good point.
Don't touch it.
That's a good point.
Because, you know, it's like, you know, if you're going to play with fire, you're going to get burned. And that's how it's going to happen.
So, I mean, as a philosophical discussion, we've gone down a pretty long road here, winding road.
Yeah, and I'm not really a philosopher either by any means.
Well, I mean, no labels. This is what we're discussing. But now we have to consider the fact that we are here. We are in this time.
We are indeed.
We have come to this point. So now looking at things that you can now see, like I've explained to you basically how Twitter... has affected my life, helping me deal with my addiction and also helping me deal with certain social issues. I mean, you can see how something like that can help a person. So I believe it is up to us, each and every one of us, if we're going to participate in social media and to use these technologies to be watchdogs of the people creating it and the people running the infrastructure. Because I agree that, like you say, if it can be used for bad, I may not agree that it shouldn't, but I agree that it will sooner or later, you know, if it can be. But we do have Anonymous for that.
Yeah.
I know what you think of those guys too. Here's what I'll say about Anonymous. I like to think of them as heroes. And a lot of them are. Because Anonymous is no central committee, Anonymous has no central anything, Anonymous is a collective. But you guys use some questionable imagery. In imagery, not so. The Guy Fawkes mask is perfectly understandable. But to say we are legion, well, I'm gonna reserve judgment on that. This is only my first podcast. I'd like to think a little more on that before I open up that discussion. I do, however, support Anonymous completely. Most people from where I come from still don't know really what Anonymous is all about or what they have done and have been doing and the level to which they've grown. I'll say a big thank you to Anonymous for everything you've done, for spreading truth around the globe, for what you've done. What Anonymous did for the people of Egypt was absolutely amazing. The people of Syria, and recently the people of, I hope I pronounce it correctly, Rohingya. You can't cast a negative light. I can't say anything bad about somebody who only ever opens their mouth to try and help other people. So I think that's an exciting movement as far as things that are going on in the here and now.
I would like to touch on that point.
Absolutely.
This is exactly it. You know, I mean, when you say, you know, I can't see where there's any negativity in it. Well, you know, I mean, yeah, that's, you know, that indicates, right? That indicates an unsureness, right? And, you know, if we rely on our understanding of things, you and I both know that, you know, there's going to be a curveball coming. Oh, well, we didn't understand that. You know, we don't understand this.
Here's an interesting thought. What if Anonymous is nothing more than some giant counterculture relief valve so that on the day that the whole shit pops off, everybody unites with a Guy Fawkes mask and they know exactly where to gas them all or where to drop the bomb? It's crossed my mind.
Well, it's entirely possible. That you know, that's something that you know, several different organizations, you know, including the Russians have tried. You know, the Free Speech Forum is just, you know, one of the most perfect cover-ups for people that want to take over countries by
dictatorship. Thank you for bringing that up, because I did want to eventually speak to this. People, free speech is an excellent concept.
Censorship is better.
Free speech, to an extent, this is true, because it's not that you shouldn't be allowed to say whatever you want to say. The issue is that truth is truth. So, will you allow someone to lie to someone who needs the truth? So, in that sense, I mean, free speech is a mixed bag. I should be allowed to call you a fucking cocksucker. That's free speech. And not get arrested by a cleric for breaking some sort of spiritual tenet. However, how effective could free speech be as a tool and a means of flushing out dissidents? As soon as you get on your soapbox and start speaking out loud, you're out. You're outed. You have a target on your head.
Well,
I mean,
did not
the communists originally invent the free speech movement?
No.
As a means of flushing out dissidents?
Don't forget, I'm a creationist and a firm believer.
By the way, I know nothing about communism. I retract that whole shit.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, there's different arguments used, you know, to support communism. The thing is that communism...
I'd like to learn more, because I've never known really honestly what communism is.
Well, it just means communal. It's communal, and you know, that's all well and good, but you know, what type of communion are we talking about here? You know, it's just the same like all these buzz phrases that we got left. I know we got to wrap up here pretty soon. It's like all these buzz phrases that we got left. I love this thing, you know, this program that they say, all these different programs you hear that say, yeah, okay, well, yeah, we have a spiritual program, right? Which makes it sounds all flowery and nice. Mm-hmm. The question to me is this, is that there are many spirits. Which one are we dealing with?
This is true. This is true. And this will, I'm sure, be another...
And the spirit of truth defines itself quite clearly and quite openly and has nothing to hide. Because true, pure light has, you know, it has no secrets, it has no nothing. It doesn't even know what a lie is.
Well, thanks for sharing with us, Uncle D. Well, I just wanted to do a nice short one for you guys today. I know we did a bit of a ramble. I kind of wanted to just, well, see what my voice heard like and, you know, see what you people thought. We didn't really set out today with any kind of structure other than to just go with just a little freeform chat and see how things went.
Experiment.
A little experiment, you know, a wee experiment. But I will appreciate any feedback I can get from you guys. Please leave comments. Please follow me on Twitter at TravG42. I will also be creating a Twitter account for GrassFed as soon as possible. So we'll have an account for that as well. I'll get all the technical details figured out for that. Or you can also email me at travg10@gmail.com. I'll be happy to answer anybody's questions or talk about anything you'd like to talk about. If it's questions concerning your addiction or my addiction or anything in between, anything we've talked about today during our ramblings. So we're going to do this again. I know some pretty interesting people, so I'm going to try and get some good in-studio guests here into the spacious 3rd Street Studios in Port au Prince, Manitoba.
Who'd have thunk, eh, that we'd ever be able to do a podcast from a slum?
Yeah.
Which is actually not a slum, by the way, compared to what a lot of people in the world got to deal with.
Yeah,
this delusion. They tell us that we live under the poverty line. I tell you, man, the Creator drops food out of the sky on people here, man. We don't get it. We don't starve here. There's no starvation here.
Amen, brother. Well, to all of you, to all my friends on Twitter, to all my friends listening, and to anybody that stumbles across this podcast now or in the future, I love you all. Again, Death Squad for life.
Huh?
And I'll explain Death Squad to you, Uncle D. Don't worry about it. Death Squad for life. I love you, bitches.